everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, our topic is Suns Out, Guns Out.
That's funny.
You did that. That's
Suns
funny.
Out, Guns Out.
Hey, it's the second week of the month, and that means we talk about culture, current events, and try to tap into some of what's going on around us. We decided it'd be fun to talk about whether Christians should carry concealed firearms, which for me is a topic that's about 6 weeks old because I wrote a blog on this right after Christmas, and it kind of went crazy. So
yeah, you disagreed.
Well, I disagreed with the evangelical Pope John Piper.
John Piper, how dare you?
Yeah,
my blog went in like, you know, it blew out of the water previous records of how many people had read it, which was a little bit flattering until I realized the people that were reading it. And then it got a little annoying because I was like, wow.
The quality of your readership is...
I've tapped into like the...
Needs to go up.
The, yeah. The
NRA
the sort of really hard
right
NRA Second Amendment people who also are real... I don't know. They tend to think very simply about things.
How many people made comments about... the picture you had about how the person was holding the gun. I mean, it was
there
like 450.
Yeah, there were so many people that said, hey, if you hold your gun like that, it's going to really hurt your hand. I'm like, yeah, I got the picture off the internet. Give me a break. I didn't go out and photograph myself shooting a weapon. I just cut and pasted.
What's funny about that is Tim Challies must have read that comment because his photo is a lot different. Mm-hmm. It was pointing at the reader, actually, on his blog.
Yeah.
With
this
three
is how
shells.
You hold a gun.
Yeah. He was like, this is how you're going to use a concealed gun. So, interestingly, Bob, though, really, though, Falwell posted, Piper passionately responded, and then you took issue with Piper.
Well, here's the thing Falwell said, right? This is all happening in the wake of the shootings in San Bernardino and things like that. Falwell, who's the, whatever he is, president of Liberty University in Virginia, man, said, hey, if you're a student here, get a concealed carry permit. And he you know, the sort of offhanded comment he made that I think riled people up is, let's show these terrorists a lesson if they ever come here, which sort of sounded a little bit, you know, brash. But what he was urging, I thought, was real reasonable, which is like, if you're a law-abiding citizen who can get a concealed carry permit, get one. We allow them on campus, and it makes the whole campus a safer place. And so Piper sort of took issue with that, and then I took issue with Piper just because I felt like actually this is something Christians should think carefully about because we do live in a world that's more and more dangerous in terms of not just external threats like ISIS, but just, you know, crazy people with guns. And so that's happened in our own city, you know, and so that this is a reality. And I don't think that every person or every Christian should carry a concealed weapon. I think it's a case-by-case decision, and each person has freedom of conscience. But that's what I wanted to preserve is the freedom of conscience for Christians to do this. And Piper was really saying it's unchristian to urge people to carry concealed weapons. And I just thought, I think that's a wrong reading of Scripture. And I don't ever think that about what Piper says. But in this case, I did. So I wanted to try to thoughtfully engage that. Man, the post took a long time to write. It took me like 7 or 8 hours because I was just like, man, I'm disagreeing with John Piper. Like, I got to really think about it. You know, like, Piper's a thoughtful dude and he doesn't write anything that's not very, very theologically grounded. And so I just wanted to like question what I was saying and really wrestle through like, am I making a fair case here? So I think it was well received. And I say that just because people like Chow's picked it up and, you know, it got some play in the broader evangelical world that I was thankful for because it felt like people were saying, hey, this is a good, fair, charitable, biblical disagreement rather than some guy who's really into the NRA and wants to carry his shotgun in his truck. And so he's mad that John Piper said not to do that, you know? So, that was sort of the substance of it. But I do think it's an important cultural issue for Christians to think about in a country where in most states concealed weapons are permitted, you know, with a permit. Should Christians do that? And do we have a biblical justifiable right to self-defense or to the defense of others in a situation of grave threat?
So yeah, Bob, one of the things that you say in your post is that Piper's primary concern is what with the spirit of Falwell's remarks, because Falwell's offhand remark was, let's teach terrorists a lesson if they ever show up here. And you say in there that you agree that that specific statement's unnecessarily provocative. Piper could have written a very thoughtful blog post taking issues with that. Unfortunately, he has done more than that. He's taken a theological position against Christians carrying concealed weapons. And then you give the example of in 2007, somebody with a concealed weapon actually saved lives. So interesting to talk about this just theologically. So Chris, Mike, curious on that vein, theologically, what do you think?
I was actually a little surprised at what I thought was kind of the carelessness of Piper's argument. I thought he's a very good exegete, and I felt like this was, it was kind of sloppy. Like I didn't even think it was, with all due respect to him, yeah. I looked at his argument and I didn't even think that it was compelling. I mean, I think the spirit of what he was getting at, and Piper is a very passionate, affectionate type guy. And so what he was urging, I think was a good thing, but I was not at all compelled by his exegetical argument with that. So that was this was kind of a man. Well, Piper, what are you doing?
I think you're not the only one, because I got emails and text messages from some pretty significant people in the evangelical world that were basically saying, "Hey, thanks for writing that. Someone needed to do something, because I didn't feel like Piper did thoughtful, careful biblical work there." So again, that's not a knock against Dr. Piper. He's a very intelligent and wise and thoughtful person. But you know, I do think in this case there were some misses on the sort of theological side of the argument.
Yeah, I always have an issue when somebody says on issues like this, Christians shouldn't do this, because it almost sounds like, because what we also have people saying is, well, everybody should have this. Like, everybody should have the right to have a gun or whatever. And it's like, well, people don't need to have a gun if they don't want one. And so I was kind of bothered by the fact that on an issue like concealed weapons, somebody was saying Christians shouldn't have that.
This is an interesting topic, too, because of the relevance. So with planting First City, we've had conversations about security for our Sunday meetings. And one of the things that is in play here is we're in a military community. And not only are we in a military community, we're actually in a city that has been targeted by ISIS, at least on paper. So if you're familiar, this report came out back in the summer where there was a number of cities that ISIS is sort of targeted for going after people who had been on certain missions. Bellevue, Nebraska was on there. Now, does this mean that, you know, Bellevue, Nebraska is on high alert? No, not at all. But it does raise questions kind of in general. We have a lot of military in our church and will be coming through our church. And so what level of security do we need to have? Now, we also meet in a school. And so there are laws. And so we were having those conversations. How do we balance those two things out? And so we landed on, well, you know, we need to follow the law here. But fortunately, we have two people who can bypass those laws because they're a cop and a federal agent. So we do have that measure of security. But so this was particularly relevant as we were thinking through church planning too.
Yeah, it's significant. And I think it's significant for, I mean, if you think about churches as one of the key soft targets, right? Many of these shootings happen at schools and churches because they're soft targets. You know, not just for ISIS, but for anyone who wants to sort of do a copycat attack.
Charleston, right?
Yeah. So I think it does matter for Christians and for church leaders to think about this carefully and to come up with some convictions here. The funny thing to me is I made my whole argument in the post as a derivative of Romans 13 and just said, look, clearly Romans 13 gives the power of the sword to governments. And I don't think anyone disagrees with that. And even the Christian pacifists that I know, most of them would say, well, I mean, this is where I think people do sloppy biblical reasoning, is they say, well, the Sermon on the Mount is a Christian ethic. Well, yeah, unless you're the president of the United States, in which case, if you turn the other cheek to, you know, to ISIS, then your whole country gets taken over, you know? So everybody understands there's a difference between a personal Christian ethic and sort of a state Christian ethic. And so my argument was Romans 13 gives the state the right to bear the sword. The American state gives its citizens the right to carry concealed weapons as an extension of that permission, and therefore it's biblically justifiable for Christian citizens in the United States to own and carry concealed weapons if they have a conviction of conscience that's okay for them. The Romans 13 is the biblical reason why that's okay. And so I got pressed from two sides. I got pressed from people that were like, well, that's not what Romans 13 means. And, you know, you're taking liberty. You know, it's only about the government, which my response was always the same, which is like, yeah. And our government says I can carry concealed weapons. So like at the end of the day, if you're going to say you're not reading Romans 13, I'm saying, no, I am reading Romans 13. It says the government has this power, and the government in America has given citizens that power. And so it's okay. The other pushback I got was from the NRA Second Amendment people that were like, well, that whole argument's derivative from the state saying I can carry a gun and I have an unalienable human right to bear arms in the Second Amendment. And, you know, and so we got this whole, and that's a whole nother argument to me, because I, you know, if I were having that argument, I would have it a whole different way. And I would love to write a blog post to those people. I just decided after the comment thread that I, it probably is not a good use of my time to mix it up on that issue with that community of people, because it distracts me from the work I should really be doing. They're vocal. But that, you know, the question of, is there a sort of like baseline human right to bear arms, I think is a different question and not the question I was trying to answer. I was trying to answer the question, can a Christian in the United States of America with a clear conscience carry a concealed weapon? Because Piper was saying, no Christian should. And I was saying that, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, and he wasn't just saying no, he was also saying you shouldn't. You should, you should, in a sense, lay down and be self-sacrificing like Jesus was.
Yeah.
Which is, to your point, Chris, a little... I don't know if I'd go sloppy. I'll let you go on record saying that. But I'll just say, like, a little negligent, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and it's obviously, if you just play out scenarios, right? Okay, sure, if someone wants to take my life and I willingly lay it down, that's my decision to make. If someone's going to take the lives of a bunch of people in my church and I have the power to stop them and I don't, but that at some way puts me responsible for those people's death. And that's a whole different scenario. So I feel like Piper's conflating, you know, my freedom as a Christian to lay down my life and to willingly take a bullet from a threatening person because I want to honor, you know, nonviolence and want to sort of be Christ-like, versus my responsibility to protect others, which if you take that argument down the road, and this is what I said in the either the comment thread or the end of the post. If you take that argument down the road, it means no Christian should be a police officer, no Christian should be a soldier, no Christian should in any way defend or protect the lives of others using deadly force. That's where that argument gets you. And I don't think we want to say no Christian should be a police officer, no Christian should be in the military, no Christian should be a federal agent. We're glad Christians do those things, and we're glad they can do them with a clear conscience and use deadly force when and where appropriate for the protection of others.
Yeah.
So I wonder if those who would make this argument would have a problem with being in a situation, a threat comes up, and I'm not carrying, and so I'm not like preemptively protecting, but in the moment I pick up a stick or a board and start protecting myself and protecting those around me. Because in the end, it's the exact same moral action.
Yeah.
It's just one was I was prepared, the other one I'm reacting. But in both cases, you're using deadly force to protect. And so would any sort of distinction be made there? And if not, then to me, the issue has bled over into just they're afraid of the guns. Like there's this kind of gun phobia that I think our culture has created. And in some ways, understandably, I mean, there has been some horrific murders and mass shootings. And so there is kind of this guns are this hot potato, scary kind of stay away from me right now. So.
You know, I think the key thing there though is lethal force, right? Like a 2x4 is a little bit different, but it's not like you're
it's more brutal, man.
A gun is clean. You gotta swing it more times, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there is a gun phobia. You know, I think, you know, and you shouldn't just grab a gun if you don't know what you're doing and things like that. But, and that's just where it just comes back to, it's one thing to be self-sacrificing as a Christian. It's another thing to be negligent on protection of others, right? So, and that's just where I feel like the weakness is. I think it was Wedgeworth or back to Shally's. He came back with comments from you, Bob, and Wedgeworth and Wilson, and said this is one of the major kind of loopholes here is just laying down to lay down, and that's a bad idea.
So, Bob, have you given any thought to the, is there a natural right to carry a gun? The natural right side, because in some ways, this is the argument you made and you pointed out is a very distinctly American argument because we have been granted by the government the right to do this. So switching it and making it more and more universal, have you thought any more about kind of that hardcore Second Amendment natural rights piece?
Maybe some of our listeners will stir up a good conversation here, but I don't see a natural right to carry a weapon. And I think that whole concept of, you know, we're created by God and endowed with certain unalienable rights among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's classic deism. That's not Christian theism. So all the Christians who love to grab those arguments and say there are certain inalienable rights that I have as a human being, you're standing on the foundation of modernistic deism. You're not standing on the foundation of the Bible. So that doesn't mean as an American, I don't treasure those rights. I do think, it, you know, in our political system, the whole thing is founded upon the understanding of those rights. But I think it's a different question to ask, can you make a biblical theological case for the right to bear a weapon? I don't know. I don't think so.
I would agree with you on that. I feel the same way about voting too. So,
oh, there it is, folks. There it is, folks. He's at a different church. It's fine.
Well, that's kind of my like thing with this whole issue is that if you're for guns, you're living in the woods somewhere, you're trying to occupy Oregon, and you're like you have a Bible in your other hand, and like that's how like the mainstream media sees the, you know, those people and us, right? Because, or we're Christians, so we must be for guns or whatever. And so it's just a weird conversation because you can't, there's not really a good place to have a decent conversation about.
I mean, there are certainly people who conflate arguments and make a poor representation of this. But at the same time that I would say I can't make a biblical theological argument for it, I do think there's something deep in the American consciousness because of where America started, the reality of throwing off the tyranny of a king who, you know, wasn't a good leader. And so there's this thing deep in the American consciousness that says if you take away the right to bear arms, it's a move back toward the tyranny of the government. I think that's why lots of people who are sort of basic individual rights people, whether libertarian or conservative or hardcore, you know, Southern evangelical Christian folks, there's a concern about, man, the right to bear arms does seem to go hand in hand with sort of individual liberty. And when you start to take that away, you move back in the direction of tyranny. And especially in the day and age we live in now, let alone the revolutionary era, that's more and more troubling because the government already has a lot of centralized power. And so any move that just gives them more, I think starts to make people very troubled. And so I think we have to balance the like, I'm not sure I can make a biblical theological argument for that. I think at the end of the day, as an American citizen, I would still say, yeah, I'm pretty much in favor of the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, not from a sort of it's grounded in God's unalienable right to humanity, but more, man, it's just grounded in wise, you know, checks and balances, a wise, you know, principle of limited government.
So like if you were even to carry your argument in your blog post down the road when the government says, hey, you're not going to have guns anymore, you'd say, well, the government's taken away my rights. I don't get to have a gun. Is that your same argument?
And I said that in the comment thread. Yeah. I said, like, yeah, at the end of the day, if the American government tells me I can't own a gun, I don't think I can say I have a I have a Christian moral right to bear a gun, so come get it, which is a lot of the commenters are like, over my dead body. You know, I'm like, well, I don't – that's not the battle I want to fight. Like, I think at some point, you know – especially if you look at places like this is where like I think a global perspective helps us. You look at places like China that under a sort of brutal totalitarian regime, Christianity has exploded, you know? And I just think how different would that be if all the Chinese Christians had taken up arms and said, we're going to oppose Chairman Mao. I don't know that you'd have 100 billion Christians in China right now, you know? Sorry, 100 million. I don't want to mess my numbers up there. 100
billion.
100 million.
Man.
100 million people. I am not convinced that we should conflate Christianity with the right to bear arms. I just think that's a dumb mistake. And the people who do that and who say, you know, if it ever came to that, I'd stand up against the government. Well, I wouldn't be on your side then. I would lay down my weapon and say the government is taking away a foundational right that's been given to us in the U.S. Constitution. And I disagree with that. But at the end of the day, I'm not starting a civil war. You know, I'm going to use other means to oppose that, whether it's the voting booth or whether it's, you know, nonviolent opposition. But, you know, it's not a hill that I would die on as a Christian. I don't think it should be for anyone.
And I think this is the argument Piper should have made.
Yeah, come on.
This is.
He went chapter verse, though.
Yeah. You know, if Piper was going after the attitude, kind of that gung-ho attitude, then I think he would have been, he could have made a super compelling argument there. I mean, that would have been Piper's wheelhouse, that mm-hmm. Christians are should be yeah. willing to suffer, even if that means losing our guns, mm-hmm. suffering persecution. I mean, this would have been great. And that was the issue I had with Falwell's comment mm-hmm. too, is this kind of gung-ho, bring it on bad guys,
right.
come and get it kind of thing. And then we even saw this with the way that the standoff in Oregon ended with, you know, one of the members killed. And, you know, I don't know all the details of that, but there is this sense that, as Jesus told Peter, you know, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And if for Christians to have this militant attitude about how we defend ourselves, almost this mm-hmm. Aggressive, bragging type, that is not what Christ has called us. We can be humble and we can be firm and we can have conviction that we will defend ourselves and we will defend those that we love and we will fight rhetorically for this right. But we can do that with a posture of humility and a posture of love rather than this like middle finger in the air at the government.
It also is weird to me. This is just a sidebar that like so many of the people who are very hardcore Second Amendment right to yeah. bear arms people also are like, I need to own 4 or 5 assault rifles. Like yeah. it's sort of like open that door really wide. I got a whole basement full of weapons. It's like, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, if you don't own an assault rifle, you're not really in favor of gun rights. I'm just like, that's just weird to me. Cause at the end of the day, I don't know why you need that. Like,
yeah.
A, you're not going to conceal it and whip it out in self-defense and B, you know, it's a military weapon.
My first thought on that is like, hey, would you sell that and pay off your debt?
Seriously. So and I, you know, I think there's freedom for people to collect those kinds of things they want to, but there's a weird subset of the population that's like, that's true freedom is like owning some assault rifles. And I just think, you know, that to me starts to get weird because I just think, you know, when the government's sending unmanned drones to do strikes against ISIS, your assault rifle isn't going to do you any good. Like the government, if they want to, can drop a precision bomb in your bedroom and they don't, you know, your assault rifle is not going to help you.
So then the question is, does the Second Amendment cover RPGs and bazookas?
Whoa.
Because
bazookas. That's a good.
I use the word bazooka because I used to watch G.I. Joe.
You just lost Mike. He's like, you mean the bubble gun?
I have no answer to that question, Chris. None whatsoever. But I do think this is an issue in the culture that I hope what I tried to model in this blog post is sort of a respectful civic debate.
Yeah.
And I do think for Christians, wherever you fall on the spectrum as you're listening to this, I think there's two biblical concerns here. One is let's not violate Christian freedom. Let's not make yep. a moral obligation out of something the Bible doesn't make a moral obligation, which is I felt like what Piper did was to say there's a Christians have a moral obligation not to carry a weapon or to lay down their, not to be willing to, you know, take out someone who's threatening others. I don't feel like that's true. And so I always want to preserve Christian freedom where the Bible preserves it. I also want to say, let's let the Bible be our actual authority. So let's not be the kind of people who the Bible's our authority until it comes to the Second Amendment, you know, and then it's damn the torpedoes. We're going Constitution, you know, inalienable human rights. Let's go, man, let's be people of the Bible and say that, you know, just like we talked about last week in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. There's a time to fight for the right to bear arms. And there's a time to, you know, suffer, as Piper said, and maybe didn't say in the most nuanced way. So I think as Christians, those are the two convictions that we need to carry.
All right. So before we go here, we're all actually wondering if Piper emailed you and he reconfigured on his own post. Right, Chris? He didn't email you.
Piper's never emailed me. I've been on an email thread with Russell Moore once, but
yeah?
I gave Russell Moore a ride in my car one time too.
Well, it doesn't count if you go to the seminary.
Ooh.
I drove Steve Timmons to the airport.
No, he did not. Piper has not communicated with me personally, nor did I feel the need for that. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the blog is that if there's a respectful back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't feel a need to like, well, if we haven't communicated personally,
totally.
Then we're not honoring each other. No, I think we honored each other well in the writing.
Yeah. And which by the way, after we record this, we're going to need you to go back and respond to every single person on the comments.
There's a reason I didn't, my friend. Hey, you know, some people you just can't really respond to. Yeah. So thanks to all those who did engage on the comment thread. Some of them were Quorumdale people, and they did a very thoughtful job, and I was proud of them.
That's going to do it for today's podcast. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. John Piper, if you're listening, please respond to Bob's
call. We love you very much.
And that's going to do it for this week's conversation. Join us next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.